Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
All right, let's go to our Bibles, Lamentations chapter 3. Some of y'all ain't been in Lamentations in a long time, amen? Amen. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to read some verses of Scripture, amen. And if the sheriff's party has to leave, this isn't their only appointment today. It's not because I'm preaching bad, amen. That's what I'm telling myself, right? Lamentations 3, verse 22 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Come on, I could just stop right there, amen? For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I love these verses. It says his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And that's what I want to preach about today. New every morning. New every morning. Amen. Now, I like to read passages sometimes from different translations of the Bible in order just to give it a little added clarity. And often I like to share different versions with you of our text. And I like to do that today. Of some of these verses, Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. Some of you may grow up remembering it this way from the King James Version. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Same verse from the New Living Translation. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And from the New Century Version, it says it this way. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. Hallelujah. They are new every morning. Lord, your loyalty is great. Amen. New every morning. How many of you love a new morning? Amen. There's just something special about a new morning, when the dawn of a new day is coming, when the dawn is breaking the night sky and it goes from black to gray to sometimes we get to see some pink or some orange, and you know that a new day is beginning. And now, you know, here we are, it's October. We're enjoying waking up in the mornings to cool air. Amen. Anybody in the house like that, right? Sweatshirt, sweater weather. Amen, right? Flannel shirts, and just getting to enjoy that. And then, of course, later today, 82 degrees, amen. I know some of y'all are in the house too, amen. You 80-degree loving people, amen. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I love starting out the morning. Like last week, for an example, I would get in the car, and I'd have a flannel shirt or a sweatshirt or a jacket on, and I'm not ashamed to admit I had the heat on in the car. Driving to church, anybody else in the house, amen. But by the time I got home in the afternoon, I had the windows down or had the air conditioning on. There's just something special about this time of year. But there's always something special about a new morning. The slate is clean. A fresh start to a new day. You might even wake up on a particular day and realize, you know what, I've got a challenging day ahead. But there's still something special about a new day. Mornings bring us reminders of God's amazing mercy. Now, our Bible text today comes from the book of Lamentations. And what does Lamentations mean by his mercies are new every morning? Well, first, let me tell you a little bit about Lamentations, right? First of all, some of you are going, what's Lamentations mean? What is a lament? Amen. Well, when you read the book of Lamentations, it's actually five chapters, but these five chapters are poems or prayers or laments about the destruction of Jerusalem. In the Bible, a lament is a prayer or an expression of grief or sorrow when they're trying to seek understanding about having peace in the middle of some difficult time of suffering. It can be a lament, can be a time or a description of an act of expressing your sadness about something or someone. And when you look in the book of Lamentations, because of God's people, the Judah, their idolatry, their continued sinful ways, the Lord allowed the Babylonians to come in and be a tool of judgment, and they burned and destroyed the city of Jerusalem to the ground. That's the context of the book of Lamentations. And Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, who most people believe was the author, he is now describing the emotional state and the well-being and the current condition of what was going on with the people of God. And he wrote the book of Lamentations, five poems or prayers or songs, mourning and grieving where they were. But right in the middle of these five chapters of, and the reason most of you like Lamentations, we don't really enjoy reading Lamentations, right? You know, because it's all this sadness and all this grief. But right in the middle of that, sandwiched right in the middle of that, Jeremiah reminds us that right in the middle of darkness, God is still a God of hope. Amen? Right in the middle of all this chaos, amen, his mercies are new every morning. Jeremiah calls on the people of God to repent and turn back to him. But in Jeremiah, in Lamentations 3:23, he says, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. He wanted to remind the people of God, and I want to remind you here today, that God's faithfulness, his love, his mercy, his compassion, they are constant, even in the midst of your trial. Come on, even in the midst of whatever chaos you might be facing right now, even in the midst of whatever you think this dark situation is, where you can't see the sun, but you know it's still there. Come on, amen. God's grace and mercy are new every morning. Now, when you look at these verses, there's a couple of important things that we can take from them. And first of all, that is that the Lord's great love, steadfast love, it says in some translations, it still abides even in time of trouble. You know, a lot of times I think we forget that. We get in a desperate situation or in a hard place, and we forget that God's love is still there. Amen? Matter of fact, the word that it uses about great love, it's used 250 times in the Old Testament. And it not only refers to love, but it's a broader than that meaning of the word. It means his elements of grace. Why am I using this? That's why I'm using it. Amen. Now I'm hands free. Hallelujah. I knew something felt off. Amen. Where was I? Amen. It is God's great love. Now the sheriff remembers why he doesn't come to church here every week. Amen. Amen. It's God's great love for his people that spared them from being utterly wiped out from Babylon. Here's what you got to remember, guys. We don't realize he's there. Right. But the Bible says his grace and his mercy are new every morning. Amen? Yes. There's a second theme found in our text. God's unfailing compassion and his mercy. The word mercy in the Bible is God's withholding of a just or due punishment to us. This particular Hebrew word used in Lamentations 3:22, it means with tender love or great and tender mercy, or even pity, amen? Isaiah 63:7 tells this, I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. See, the many good things that God has done for us and continues to do for us, it says it's according to his compassions and his many kindnesses. And Jeremiah gave us a key to this statement that God's mercies are new every morning. It is connected to the statement that follows in verse 23. Are you ready? Great is your faithfulness. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to know why his mercies are new every morning? God is always faithful. Come on, he's not a fair weather God. He's not a fair weather friend. He is there through the good and the bad. Great is his faithfulness. I think somebody ought to give him a praise right now for that faithfulness. Lord, I bless you today. Hallelujah. Thank you for your faithfulness. Every morning demonstrates God's grace. Come on. A new beginning in which darkness has to flee. Amen. You don't have to look any further than the breath in your lungs this morning. Come on. His mercies are new every morning. You don't have to look any further than the sunlight which you drove to church in today. Come on. His grace and mercy are new every morning. The food on my table, the shoes on my feet. Hallelujah. His grace and his mercies are new every morning. There is no expiration date on God's mercy to us. New every morning means those mercies are perpetual. They're always available to those in need. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30, it said, even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Hallelujah. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. See, some mornings you might get up on the wrong side of the bed, but guess what? Even on that side of the bed, hallelujah, you can find God's mercy and his grace. Now, throughout the Old and New Testament, we can see that God's mercy flows continually from his forgiving nature. We see it in his protection and deliverance of the people time after time. He shows mercy whenever he chooses to be slow to anger and overflowing in his love. Mercy, hear me though, folks, don't forget this. It is not a benefit based on our merit or something we did to earn it. Come on, it is a gift from God. I don't care how many little old ladies you walk across the street or Girl Scout cookies you buy. You still don't get to deserve the mercy and grace that God gives to us. Amen? Jesus demonstrated this to us. He made mercy an essential part of his ministry. He demonstrated something also that we would all do well to remember, and that is this. Mercy becomes mercy when it takes action. It's not mercy when you're just thinking about it. It's mercy when you're doing something about it. Amen. Think about Jesus. What did he do? He ate with tax collectors. Amen. And by the way, tax collectors back then, they were some of the most hated people in society. You know, a lot hadn't changed over the years, has it? If you work for the IRS, we will pray for you after this service. Amen. Amen. But seriously, tax collectors, though, it wasn't just about, they were crooked, a lot of them. They would line their pockets, they would overcharge people, and they would keep the money. And the system allowed for this corruption. There wasn't anything that could be done about it. He was with people that nobody else wanted to be with. And he did miracles among them, and he showed mercy with them. He is literally, Jesus, the full expression of God's mercy to us. Amen? Our salvation that we enjoy today, it is God's merciful act of withholding punishment and instead giving us grace. One of the psalmists wrote that sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? New days and new opportunities for us to walk by faith in the truth of God's mercy. You know, by the end of the day, it's not unusual for us to feel tired or maybe even worn down from life or from the spiritual attacks. You feel tired. We feel weary. But God gives us the reprieve of something called sleep, right? You lay your head down at night. You get to go to bed. You go, but sometimes worry, stress tries to rob us of that rest. But you know what I found? No matter how difficult the night may be, morning always comes. Hallelujah. Without fail, eventually, the darkness gives way to light and morning comes. And with it, new hope. Hope that today will be a better day. Hope that we will see God's hand at work. Hope that is accompanied by faith. Every morning presents itself to us with fresh opportunities for God's love and his compassion and his faithfulness to operate in our lives. Even when we wake up to storm clouds, amen, the sun's still there. Come on, you may not be able to see it, but it's still there. You know, a lot of days, if we're honest, we don't have photo-worthy sunrises, right? We don't have those, but we still know the sun is there. such is God's mercy. Now, I want to quickly, I always like to share some practical points that will help you apply the scriptures. How do we receive God's mercy into our life every day? Let me just give you some simple things quickly. First of all, we receive God's mercy by faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Come on, Hebrews 11 and 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Amen. Faith is our response to God's revelation of himself through his word and through his actions. Amen. God is merciful to us because of his love, and we receive that by faith. Here's what you have to decide, though. Are you going to have faith in God's compassion and his mercy and his everlasting love, or are we going to have faith that things are not going to get any better? See, because that's called something else, fear. And every day we operate in faith. We operate with a faith that, and an expectation that God's going to be good, or we operate from another and we don't think it's faith, but we're having faith that things are not going to get any better. That's called fear. That's called worry. That's called anxiety. That's called stress. That's called doubt. But we can activate God's mercy by faith. Amen. Another way you receive God's mercy is by prayer. By prayer. I know it sounds simple, but when we pray and we're talking to God, we are drawing nearer to him. That's what the scripture says. Hebrews 10, 19, and it tells us how to pray. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly, everybody say boldly, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. You want to know why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Verse 22 says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. You know why? Our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let me tell you one of the greatest lies of the devil to Christians, and especially to people that are not Christians, and that is, you're not good enough to talk to God. You've made too many mistakes for the Lord to hear your prayers. That is a lie from the enemy, amen. I had a preacher one time tell my dad that God does not hear the prayers of sinners. I'm like, well, if God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners, then how in the world are any of us going to get saved, amen? That is a lie. And don't let the devil tell you that lie either. The reason that you and I have a right to come before God, the scripture said it well, is because of the blood of Jesus. It's not because of anything I've done or anything that you've done. Boldly enter into that holy place. It says, go right into the presence of God. That's a way to activate God's mercy and grace in your life. Here's another way we receive God's mercy. Sometimes we have to slow down and wait. And folks, this is a hard one, right? Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. For some of us, that is a hard thing to do. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. I said recently in one of our services, I don't know when it was. It was a few months ago, I think, that sometimes one of the biggest acts of faith in our lives is waiting on the Lord. Amen. Come on, we think faith, we always think about the big stuff, right? All the action steps and all the things that we do. But sometimes the best step of faith that you can take is just to stand still and wait on the Lord to operate. You got to just wait instead of all the wrestling and the fighting that we do. Let me put it to you this way. Has anybody ever, any parents or grandparents, aunts or uncles, have any of you ever tried to give a baby medicine? Yeah. You ever try to give a one-year-old Tylenol or Motrin? Now, we had two daughters growing up. There's Lauren. I don't know where Lindsay is. She's somewhere around here. There she is. They're sitting right next to each other. Lauren always, if I'm remembering this well, Lauren never really gave us any problems taking medicine. But how many of you know when you have more than one child, they are not the same? Lindsay, on the other hand, when we would try to give her medicine, I'm just telling you right now, it was like wrestling a grizzly bear. She would eat. She was a good eater. She loved stuff. But when she saw that little Tylenol tube, it was like she got the lockjaw of a Doberman Pinscher. Amen. It was like a Rottweiler. I mean, and you would, I had to let Robin do it because I would just get, it was just too much for me. I tried pinching the cheeks. I tried everything. We tried squirting it in stuff that she liked. I mean, we tried it all. And she would wrestle and she would kick and she was, and sometimes we just gave up. And we just said, Lord, you're going to have to heal her because we can't give her no medicine. I mean, we had to really pray the prayer of faith. God, you said you would heal. Hallelujah. Please heal her, because if I try to give her medicine again, I'm going to kill her. Amen. But you know what we do? Sometimes the Lord wants to put his mercy and his grace on our situation, and instead of standing still, we're wrestling and we're fighting and we see it coming. We're like, and we're just resisting, and sometimes you just got to stop. Slow down. Come on. You got to be still, and you just wait. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. Look at this. My whole being waits. That's another level of waiting, right? And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Some songwriter out there, I'm not a song. You need to put that to song. More than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Long nights of waiting for dawn to come, but it always shows up. All right, here's another way we receive God's mercy. Are you ready? By declaring it. Come on, say, sometimes you got to speak it. Come on. Psalm 92 says, in verse 2 says, it is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. Hallelujah. Can I just tell you right now, sometimes you need to say it out loud. You don't just need to think it, you need to speak it, amen? When I wake up in the morning, I declare and decree, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, amen? Before your feet hit the floor, God, you're going to order my steps today. You're going to bless my going in and my coming out. God, you're going to bless every relationship that I touch today. You're going to touch, come on, declare it. Proclaim the goodness of the Lord over your life. It is good, the Bible said, to proclaim and declare. Let me ask you this question. Who's it good for? First of all, it's good for you. That's right, amen. To say it and believe it out loud. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Come on, some of us, we're speaking life or we're speaking death. Get up in the morning and say, God, this is going to be a good day, amen. We used to sing an old song back in the day. It said, this is going to be a great day. This is going to be a great day. God is going to do great things. Great day, yes it is. Amen. It's good for you to proclaim it. You want to know who else it's good for? The devil. Yeah, sometimes the devil needs to hear you say it out loud. So he knows you are seriously engaged in kingdom business. Amen. Come on, it reminds me of the time I heard about a guy. He was deaf. He moved away from his hometown. In his church, they had a sign language ministry, and he moved to another town, a small town, and he kept trying to find churches that had sign language, and he couldn't find a church where they had any deaf ministry interpretation. So finally, he just settled on a church, and he started going week after week, Sunday after Sunday, couldn't hear a word, couldn't understand a word. He would leave, and finally, he had connected to some friends in the deaf community who didn't go to church, and one of them finally asked him, said, why do you go to that church every Sunday when you can't hear anything they're saying? He said, well, the main reason I go, I just want to make sure the devil knows which side I'm on. Come on. Did you know every time you proclaim the goodness of the Lord with your mouth, you're not just saying it for yourself. I'm letting the devil know which side I'm on. I'm letting him know which message I choose. We shall believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Proclaim it. You want to know who else it's good for? The scripture said it's good to proclaim. It's good for your kids. Yep. Let me speak to every parent in the room. Come on, your kids need to hear you declaring the goodness of the Lord. They need to hear you speaking life and not death. Yep. They need to know that you know who your provider is, who Jehovah Jireh is. They need to know that you know who your healer is. They need to know where your strength comes from. Come on. They need to see it in your life. They need to hear it from your mouth. It's good to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Speak life. Speak life. Say it. It activates the mercy and grace of God in your life. We receive God's mercy by faith, by prayer, when we slow down and wait, when we declare. And lastly, I want to tell you, we receive it by fixing our eyes on Jesus. I told you that while you're standing, you stand still. But when you're standing, make sure you're doing this. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you notice that? It said, for the joy set before him, he endured what he was going through. Jesus had the ability to look past the cross to see the joy that was set before him. Some of us, we need to just stop and say, you know what? This is only a temporary situation. But I'm looking at what lies ahead, and I'm looking at tomorrow. Man, it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? Take our eye off the ball. It's easy to get discouraged and lose your focus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Last thing I want to say before I close here today. As recipients of God's mercy, though, as the children of God, it's not enough just to enjoy his grace and mercy ourselves. We've got to learn to extend it to other people as well. Come on, this is a two-sided coin. This is a double coin. The Hebrew word for mercies is hesed, and it denotes the limitless nature of divine mercies. Come on. I love the idea of limitless mercies because, you know, I can't really grasp that. Because I don't know about you, and I'm just going to be honest with you. My patience runs dry, right? My mercy tank gets a little low. Amen? My forgiveness tank can sometimes feel like it runs empty. I'm just a human being, right? But the scripture says we have an endless, limitless nature of divine mercies. God's mercy is not like our mercy. It extends to us over and over again. And mercy, hear me, it's the essential ingredient of the life of a believer in Jesus. And sometimes mercy is going to be the greatest witness that you can have in this generation. The sheriff said it well. Man, we're living in a time. There's all kinds of stuff out there. And we need to recognize that being merciful, God-fearing Christians is sometimes more than anything you can do or say. Showing mercy to people. Jesus called it turning the other cheek. Giving up your cloak. Walking the extra mile. Choosing to bless and not curse. As we receive God's mercies fresh every morning, we need to bless others with mercy too. Look at what the scripture says, Luke 6:36. Be merciful, what? Just as your Father is merciful. We live in this increasingly cruel world, and your witness makes a difference. So, how do we do that? How do we extend mercy to others? I'm going to give you two easy things. One is a start, and one is a stop. Are you ready? Here's the start. Start looking and listening for people's needs. Start looking and listening for needs. Whose needs? The needs of the people in your neighborhood, people at your work, people in your family, people you go to school with. Mercy always begins with awareness. Amen? And if you're not aware, you can't show that you care. Right? You have to have awareness. The Bible said this in Philippians 2 and 4. I didn't give them this verse, but it says, look out for one another's interests, not just your own. Amen? See, here's what I believe. Most of us do not struggle to be merciful because we're bad people. We don't. I mean, 98% of the people in this room are great people, and the other 2% are good people. I believe that. Oh, that's kind of Pollyannish. That's okay. That's how I get through life. But I mean that. We don't extend mercy because we're bad. We don't extend mercy sometimes because we're just too busy to notice the needs of other people. Amen. We're so overcome with our own stuff. And when you're moving from event to event and task to task and calendar item to calendar item, it's hard to pay attention to the people that are around you. And when you're not looking and listening for people's needs, it's nearly impossible to be merciful. And then here, that was the start. Start looking and listening. Here's the stop. Stop being so easily offended by the sins of other people. All right. I'm going to put my pastor hat on for a minute, amen? And by the way, praise team, come on up because we're going to need a little music for this one, amen? Come on, you can't look at people and say, go clean up your life and then I will accept you. That's not how mercy works. Come on. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that to you? Well, if you clean up your life, I'll take you. Amen. If you'll stop doing this, I'll take you. If you'll just quit saying those things or laughing at those jokes or watching those. Come on, Jesus didn't do that to us. We got to stop being so easily offended by the sins of other people. Amen. You cannot minister to people if you're always looking down on them from your perch in your heavenly high places. By the way, what are you doing up there? Come on down with the rest of us. Amen. Right? Come on down to earth with the rest of us. Robin and I took our grandkids to King's Dominion yesterday. And I know they're getting everything decorated for the Halloween stuff, so we wanted to make sure we went during the day because it's kind of scary at night, they say. And there's, you know, but I have never gone and seen so many, I'm just put it this way, so many confused young people in all my life. I mean, you could tell by the way they were dressed, the way they were conversing, the way they were acting. And at one point, Robin just stopped and she said, I feel so sorry for these kids. They look so confused. And you know what I thought to myself? I thought, you know, how are we going to reach a generation that doesn't even know what they need? Right? How are we going to reach a generation of kids that, I mean, they don't know what gender they are. They don't know what their politics are. They don't know what is right or wrong. They don't have a biblical worldview. They don't even know if they believe in God. I mean, they got all this stuff going on. But let me tell you how I know we won't reach them. By judging them from our high places. Amen. Now hear me, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you got to agree with them. I'm not saying you got to condone what they're doing. The Bible is full of examples where it says go and sin no more. But we have to not be offended by people if we're going to be able to love people. Amen. His mercy and grace are new every morning. I was standing in the line at King's Dominion and Rita's going to get some whatever you call those things. They're like Slurpees. Icees. And there was a pack of those kids right in front of me. And you know what? I just stood there and I listened to their conversation. And they were so nice. They were sweet. They were kind to the worker. And I just thought, you know, if I'm just visually judging them. Is it all right to admit that we all do that from time to time? But what if we took a step back? And we realize, guess what? I'm his hands. I'm his feet. I'm his voice. I'm his heart. I'm not his judge. I'm certainly not his executioner. I'm here to be his love. I want you to stand with me all over this house. Jesus was not offended by people's sins. He didn't agree with them, but he hung out with them. And he loved them. Get them to the place where they needed to be. Showing mercy doesn't mean you're saying everything that somebody does is okay, but you can still show mercy. Amen? Here's what Colossians 4 and 6 says. When you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant, so you will be able to answer everyone in the way you should. Church, how many lives can we change just by showing the grace and love of God? Just let the Lord work on their hearts. Amen. There'll be a time. There'll be an opportunity. There'll be a window for a conversation. Amen. You don't force it. You just let it happen. You let it come to you and be ready. And guess who they're going to look for? The person that they knew was a Christian that loved them and didn't judge them. Amen. I don't know why. I just feel like I'm supposed to drill down on this in this 11 o'clock service. Amen. Love people. Show them mercy. Show them grace. Amen. That's how you're going to win back alienated family members. That's how you're going to win back friends that you lost years ago. That's how you're going to win some of the people that you work with. Just love them. Just love them. Isaiah wrote a prayer that we can all pray each morning. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 2. I love this verse. Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning. Our salvation in time of distress. because he's new every morning. As is our custom, we like to open up our altar at the end of our message. We're going to pray here in just a moment. Here's what I want to do. If you've not yet tapped into the grace and mercy of God in your life, or maybe it's been there all along, but you haven't seen it. You've been so focused on the clouds and the darkness and all the turmoil and all the chaos. Your Jerusalem just got burnt to the ground. So you're like, Lord, where are you in the middle of all this? He's still here. I want to give you an opportunity to step out from where you are and just reconnect with the Lord and say, God, I just ask you to touch me again. I want to connect by faith and by prayer. I want to stand still and watch you work, God. But then also there's people in this room that when I started talking about people that you need to show mercy to, God dropped a name in your heart. That wasn't the devil. That wasn't your flesh. Because you don't want to talk to them. You don't want to show. I just want to challenge you, by the help of God, start changing the scope of that relationship. And let God use you to be a light of mercy. So I want to invite you to come and say, Lord, I just need your power, your strength, and your wisdom to know how to navigate, amen? If that person's sitting next to you, don't look at them, amen? Just ask God to help you, amen? So as they begin to sing, I want to open you this altar and invite you to come this morning and just spend a few minutes with the Lord. Ask him, God, I want to walk in that mercy that comes to me new every morning. Would you come, amen?
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.